Now that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but it endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Whew. Our theme for the week, as we gather, go through this month of July and through our questions of CTKB, who are we being called to be? When are we being called to be? Where are we being called to be? Today, as we were planning for the readings, we picked out text to draw us to think about where are we called to be people of God? Where are we called to be Christ the King? And so this text from Jesus about these various soils seems to be instructive in some way. There was, after all, a place, and talking about a variety of places. Some soil that was good and full of nutrients, some that was rocky, some that was full of thorns, other that was hard-packed, like a path. As Jesus speaks, he gives us four different soils to think about. And as he explains to his disciples a little later on, these different soils come to mean different kinds of people or different ways that people receive the word of God. But as I've been thinking about this question of where do we show up as people of faith, and thinking about my daughter's baptism today, I couldn't help but thinking about who do we show up for. And as the where that Jesus talked about in the passage here this morning ends up being people, I like to think of the where that we show up as in other people as well. But the where I show up as a person of God is indeed in my children. They're my where. But parenting is pretty hard. Parenting is full of challenges. I want to make my children, help them to grow into that good, nutrient-rich soil so that the word of life and fulfillment and fullness might take root in them and grow and produce and yield. But then My son sees himself on the video screen. My daughter doesn't really like getting wet. It's harder than it goes in my mind. Parenting is tough. And parenting seems, it's probably always been tough, but it seems especially tough today because there's so many places and people out there that will tell you how to do it just right. In his book titled Seculosity, parent, pastor, and writer David Zoll writes about the parenting industrial complex. And he writes, thanks to the advent of developmental psychology, we are more aware than ever of how crucial those early years are. We know often from firsthand experience that the wounds inflicted and the inadequacies internalized during childhood can trail a person well into adulthood. Moreover, a fire hydrant stream of internet articles ensures that no potential risk to our children goes unreported. Even if we have the wherewithal to ignore the endless feed of studies show, we love our kids. We're eager to know how best to shepherd them. As a parent, I want my kids to be good soil. I want to find the hard places in their life, those rocks, and remove them. I want to pull up the thorns. I want to guide them away from the hard paths into the soft soil. I want them to form them to be that soft soil. Maybe you have felt that way about your own kids, other parents out there. Maybe you feel that way about yourself. You hear these words of Jesus about these different soils, and then Jesus explains, well, these different soils kind of represent people in different circumstances, and you want to be that good soil. Because clearly that's the right answer here. It's to be good soil. And so we want to be good soil. And then as parents who sow words, we want to sow our words into good soil of our children or into the good soil of our own selves. But look at what the sower does. The sower doesn't just sow in the good soil. The sower sows everywhere. A little bit of seed over here, a little bit there, some over there. Let's throw some up there. Let's toss it to the wind. Who cares where the seeds go? We'll just got enough for everywhere. And Jesus shows us this sower who sows so abundantly that the word of the gospel is not a word reserved just for the good soil. It is a word that goes everywhere. And that word of gospel is the word that we speak in these waters of baptism. There is no requirement to hear these words, to know that these words are meant for you. The thick soil where it's nutrient dense, that soil is certainly enough to get some seed in it. But so too is the path well worn by life. So too is the rocky soil tormented by birds. So too are even the thorny places. All of these places, everywhere, and every person in the eyes of God is enough to receive a word of love and a promise of life. And it's all given, abundantly shared, which ultimately is how I want to parent. Two, I want to be able to offer a word of love for my children, even when they're naughty. Maybe it's a word of firmness, but ultimately a word of love. Even when they've wandered off on some distant path, I want to be able to offer a word of love for them, even when they're lives are choked with thorns. I want to be able to offer a word of love with them. That's ultimately how I want to live and how I dream of our community being. that we might be a community that is like this sower that can sow seeds of love everywhere we go. In the good soil, for sure, but also the pathways, also the rocky places, also the thorny places, all the hard places of life. Don't those places deserve words of love too? In the lives of our children, our parents, our friends, no matter who they are, what has happened, don't they deserve those words of love too? Because one of the secrets that's shown forth in baptism is that words of love are ultimately not words that you ever deserve. They're just words that are given as a gift. They're just given. No requirements needed. In his book and that chapter on parenting in Seculosity, David Zoll ends with a story about a parent, a mother. Her name is Emily. And it's a story about her and her life with her son, Ronan. Ronan was born with Tay-Sachs disease. He died just before his third birthday. Emily wrote about the vivid experience of parenting a child who had such a short life. And she wrote this: "I have abandoned the future, and with it, any visions of Ronan scoring a perfect SAT or sprinting across a stage with a Harvard diploma in his hand. We're not waiting for Ronan to make us proud. We don't expect future returns on our investment. We've chucked the graphs of developmental milestones, and we avoid parenting magazines at the pediatrician's office. Ronan has given us a terrible freedom from expectations, a magical world where there are no goals, no prizes to win, no outcomes to monitor, discuss, or compare." She went on to describe this life of parenting as a life that was often peaceful, even blissful, where the only task was just to love. That freedom that she talks about is the freedom just to love your children as they are and for who they are, rather than for who they will be or who you want them to become, and ultimately what that says about yourself. It's a freedom to cherish their being over their doing. God cherishes the being of God's children. God cherishes you as you are, without any requirements to earn it. This is why we baptize children before they can really achieve anything, as a sign that the love of God isn't contingent on our ability to achieve anything. It is just a pure and sacred and loving gift. Seed that's sown out in the hope that it will grow, but without the expectation of being anything first. It's just a word of love. And ultimately, tending to the soil with love, to the ground, well, that's how the best gardens grow. That's how they produce. It's not in order that they produce, it's just how it happens. It's how children grow up to be loving folks themselves. It's how we grow in faith, knowing that love, the love of the people in our lives, and sharing that love with our children, with our parents, with our friends, everywhere we go. So let's go out into the wares everywhere of life, sowing that love together. Amen.